stepping out in the fear is the scariest place and the best place to be, because that's where you mess up. And without those mess ups, you never push yourself to the next step.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinkham. Well, it's another awesome week, another great guest, and another opportunity for me to bring you value through someone else's story. But before we jump into that, I'm just so excited that episode 100 is coming up, and it's going to be amazing. If you know about episode 50, I did a 9-hour live stream with about 12 guests, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to do something similar to that again. So to learn more, go to passionbehindtheart.com/100. That's passionbehindtheart.com/100. Episode 100. It's coming and I'm so excited about it. Remember, subscribe, leave a review on iTunes. We are on Spotify. We are on TuneIn Radio. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are on Stitcher. That's passionbehindtheart.com to learn about everything that we are doing and what's going on with the podcast and what's the next moves. So, without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode. Well, I am excited to have Desiree Furtick on the Passion Behind the Art Show. And just to let you guys know, this is our second time trying to make this happen. So this time, we're definitely going to get it. The energy is still high, and I'm super excited about this. Desiree, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me back.
Awesome. All right, so let's jump right into it. How did your creative lettering journey start?
Gosh, you know, I wish it was just a really fast one, but it's not. It took many, many years to get here. I think it started for me, an interest in lettering was way back in the 90s when scrapbooking was really a thing. People would buy stickers. I would actually just go and make my own artwork instead of buying stickers. I'd find the fonts that I like and try and copy those fonts. But then life happened and my son's growing, and I stepped outside of that and didn't touch it again for a very long time. And then I had a job at a church where I was doing graphics. And through that job, I started doing set design and designing kids' classrooms and different events that happened. They would need a little bit of creativity in that part. And I started to just embrace new ways of creating, finding new ways to do it. And that's how it started again. Started again probably 12 or so years after it originally started, it transplanted itself.
So after you did all those sticker cutouts, it was 12 years later you picked this up.
Yeah, at least.
Now that in itself is just so amazing.
Yeah.
Like you've given so much hope to so much people right now.
Never.
No, because there's like so much people like, you know, life happens and, you know, I've done this and this is what I've been doing. I really don't want to take up something new. I really don't want to start a new challenge. I'm kind of good where I'm at. A lot of people do that.
Absolutely, they do. And it's scary to start something new.
Yep.
You know, and then there's cost involved. And I'd like to say that with lettering, there is very little to no cost. You need a pencil and a paper. And
that is
how it starts. And so that's how I really think it just kind of got going. You know, somebody said they needed a new design for a project that we were doing. And I didn't want to use a font. I wanted to create something. And so it just sort of kicked off from there.
So now you've found this hobby or this long lost love in lettering back up. Like, what happened after that? Like, how did you turn it into what it is now? What was the next thing that happened after that?
Well, it wasn't until I actually found Instagram did I realize that there's people like me that had a weird interest in shapes that happened to be letters. And I didn't realize, I thought it was like a lone wolf. I didn't know people went to school for it. I didn't know that people actually had jobs for it. So until I got on Instagram and found a whole new community through hashtags, did I see, oh my gosh. I mean, it really invigorated me because there were so many incredible people out there that gave me the opportunity to just watch them and just to see the evolution of their career and realize as more I practiced, the more I wanted to give it a shot. And so that's what I started doing. I just did it and did it and did it every day, every single day until I started to actually do it for a job and decided to quit my job and do it full time.
And how long you've been doing that now?
I quit my job in October of 16. So I've been doing that full time now, just over two years, 4 months or so. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. So tell me some of the type of projects that you've gotten to do like through this. Like what's some of the things that you had to create?
I have been so incredibly fortunate. I think because I started in the church world, you know, because I worked at the church, and also word of mouth because I worked in the church, other churches kind of found out about me. So I started to do a lot of different design through graphics because I also have that background from working there, which is phenomenal, which has been vital to this process. Owning your own business and being able to do one thing with your hands and turn it around and do it digitally has opened my world and my business huge. But I think I've been able to do, not think, I have been able to do logo design. I've done a lot of logo design for various different churches, not just for the churches themselves, but for the individual ministries within, and also events the different churches hold. You know, a lot of churches are doing, you can have, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 different events. And
for a year.
Absolutely. And each ministry's got their own thing. So there's been many times where I've just been on a schedule of just filling their needs. And it's been really exciting to help. They throw an idea at me and I can just launch it in a whole different direction that they just didn't expect. And that's what I love about teamwork. You know, you come together with different ideas. And I think that's one of the things about working by myself that I do miss. You know, not having that constant creativity conversation. I can go on Instagram, I can go on Pinterest, I can go on the internet, but I love that communication, that bantering back and forth. And you start with one idea and you end 50 miles away purely because your conversation. And so that's where I love working with churches and ministries, because they have a vision and they sometimes just don't know how to get it there. And so I kind of help launch it in that positive direction.
Wow. That's so cool. And plus it's like this, because one thing I've learned is like as a designer, like you get to design pretty things, but when you can combine designing pretty things with a cause, it kind of takes it to a whole nother level. It's kind of like you're actually making a difference.
It does. It really honestly does. And those are memories. Those are things that impact other people. And they don't know who was behind it. But truthfully, for me, oftentimes, especially when I know that it's in a church, there's no there. I got to be honest with you, as I'm doing it for the church, I'm praying, because this is an event that they are hoping is going to have a particular reaction or is going to have a positive influence on a particular subject or individuals. And I want my design to impact that in such a positive way.
That's amazing. Wow. So now you're now on Instagram. You are learning about other letterers. Now you're doing this full time. You've done a bunch of projects for churches. Like what other type of projects did you get to do for like other businesses and stuff like that?
Oh gosh, still logo. A lot of logo. Yeah. And also, fortunately for me, I've done a lot of, marketing brochures and things. Oftentimes they already know the direction they want to go, but they don't know, because it goes into my background of graphics as well, I'm able to incorporate those two things. So digitally plus my hand. So I'll do the artwork for it and then create it and put it onto digital form. So I'm able to do that and then move in that direction, which I thoroughly enjoy. And products for those different events too. You know, it can be a fundraiser and they need, you know, certain things. It can be totes, keychains, stickers, things like that. Sometimes you're not just doing an event. There's many aspects that go to that event, and it marries the idea if you've got the same designer. Sometimes it's neat to have multiple designers. Sometimes it's better to have three designers on one project because you're doing that that idea swapping that you do, which I thrive on.
That's nice. That's nice. So what would you say was like the hardest thing that you had to overcome through the process?
Oh, I think not having somebody to constantly have that dialogue with, truthfully. Mm. Absolutely. I miss that. I definitely miss that. I think that that's something you get in your own head. You have these conversations and debates. Do you go here? Do you go there? No, that's not a good idea. You need to go over here. And I could have a bad idea at that moment. You need somebody besides yourself to talk to. So I think that's been my biggest one. That, because when you have that person to talk to, when you are stuck on a design and you don't know where to go, sometimes it just takes that little bit of rub of that conversation to help push it in a whole different direction. And I think that collaboration is vital in creating.
It is.
Yeah.
I have a two different groups of texts, like where we kind of like send each other like, okay, I'm working on this. What do you think?
Oh,
yeah. It's always helpful because you sometimes miss something, or they'll just point something out, or you could point something out for someone else. So it's always good to kind of have
that. That's so good that you have a group of people to do that with. I always feel bad, like I'm calling my other friends over here and there that are also in the design world. But you know, to know that that's kind of a set decision between you guys that you're going to share in that is huge.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it really helps. And even if it's like client work before I actually have to send it off to the client, I could actually get some kind of, you know, another set of filtering before I get it to the client. So it's always good to kind of have that.
Well, sometimes you're looking at it so intensely, you don't know the obvious is staring back at you. And it's like, and so usually for me, it's spelling. It's usually spelling. And I'm embarrassed. I just misspelled that.
I'm there with you. I am right. I'm lockstep.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah.
And sometimes it's just like so obvious. You can't be like, I can't believe I just missed that.
Yes. And it's so there are like a whole missing word. How did that happen? Yeah.
Oh gosh, that is so true. So true. I'm there with you. You're speaking my language.
Yeah.
So. All right, I know you say you don't really have a group to say, okay, you can throw work out to and kind of have a conversation, but who are the people that kind of brought you the support that you needed through this process? Because as you said, you started 12 years later. Like, who kind of put you over the edge to say, okay, you can do this, keep going? You know what I mean?
Well, I was extremely fortunate. Number one, I have a husband who would push me in any direction that I wanted to walk in, and he believes in me 100%. And when we decided to think, you know, do you want to just do this full time? He was 100% behind me and was willing to take the sacrifices that it took to make it happen. And I am incredibly thankful for that, because I don't think I saw myself as being as creative as he sees me. And I sometimes need to see myself through his eyes because I'm so hypercritical. And then I have a sister who's so wonderful. It helps that she's a technical writer. So when I do have to do stuff, I send stuff to her and she saves my butt. Embarrassment would be just on my forehead constantly. So she saves me. But aside from being my proofreader, she's just a huge encouragement as well. I mean, to have, I think, my sister and my husband, one on each shoulder, because they each speak different truths to me, has been vital, because I need the truth. You know, sometimes definitely it could hurt, but you still need the truth. But I also have to be extremely appreciative to the job that I had while I was figuring this out at that church. They stood behind me. They knew I was doing this on the side. They knew I was working for them. And then I'd go home until 2 a.m. and work, and then get up at 7 a.m. and go right back to work. They were so kind, so gracious, always eager to know what I was doing and ready to push me on too. So to have that as my regular job and they're still supporting me on my side hustle is huge, huge. Incredibly thankful for them. That was very, and they let me do passion projects, you know, things that I didn't normally do. They'd say, give it to Desiree, and We'll see what we can figure out. And it was a great team, and collaboratively we were able to accomplish a ton. So I feel very fortunate in that respect. Having somebody that you can count on, find that person. Find that person. If you have to dig deep, they're usually right there. But if anybody's like myself, I don't like to ask for help. But sometimes you just do. And those sometimes are the people that are want you to ask for help. You know, but yet they don't want to bother you.
Right. It's true. Wow, that's amazing, especially with the job aspect, to kind of have them with you through this journey, and they're supporting you through this journey. You know, that's kind of cool. There was like no.
None. I mean, and I can honestly say I cannot think of a time, but I can guarantee there was a time where I needed to do something for my side hustle, and my job let me do what I had to do and make up for work. I mean, I can't, but I know for a fact it happened.
Wow.
I just do. Yeah. They were very gracious.
Wow.
And I'm very, very thankful for that, because it also allowed me to push myself in ways I would not have done, because I would have been too fearful that I would have messed up my day job. And because it gave me the ability to push back on jobs that would have been much more difficult to do because of my day job, I think it really allowed me to say yes to things I wouldn't have done. Yeah.
Wow. That makes sense. That does make sense. It's not like,
You
know, it's not a taboo to do it. So now you're like, okay, let me go ahead and explore all these different possibilities.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's nice. So what is that thing that you can't live without that's not your phone?
I'm going to give you that one answer. I have my heating blanket on my lap, and you know I live in Montana, and it's been cold, and I lived in California before here, and I wore a sweater when the weather was 80 degrees. So the fact that I moved to Montana into the land of the freezing, yeah, I did that by choice, and I love the decision I made, but I still have a blanket wherever I go. I mean, it's vital. My heating blanket, I have one upstairs, and I have one downstairs.
Wow, that's like someone saying they have a charger upstairs and a charger downstairs. You have a blanket.
I'm all about the cozy factor, yeah.
I like that. That's a good pick. I like that. I like when it gets real different and real unusual. So I love that. Desiree and her blanket. You should do some kind of lettering for that. There should be kind of signature artwork for you.
I think that's good. I'm going to have to think about how can I translate that creatively.
So let's get some book recommendations.
Oh, I'm so bad at titles. I can't even remember the movie I saw last. I had it too on my desk just two days ago, excuse me. Oh, I'm looking for it and I just don't see it. I want to be able to tell you, but I have no idea. I have stacks and stacks of them. Stacks. I'm really a book junkie when it comes to paper. I love digital. Right. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love digital, but I have purchased probably every lettering book out there. Just because even if there's two pages in it that are going to be, that speak to me, I need those two pages that I can touch and scribble on. And so, yeah, books are my friends.
But that's usually how it works. Like a lot of times when like a book that's really impacted me, it's not necessarily the whole entire book. It's that one page or that one chapter or that one line, that one nugget, and they're like, oh my gosh, mind blown.
It could be a sentence. Have that be highlighted and text. I absolutely with you on that one.
Awesome.
It's interesting because I did get a book on architecture recently just because, I can't even think of the name of that. It's upstairs. I've just been going through this crisis of confidence lately, and I don't even know why, and I've never had it in my life since creating. And it's really hard when you just don't know what to create. Normally, I can grab this one particular book, and I can't think of what it's called, where I could just go through and find something that just catches my attention, and I can go off in three different directions. But I've had this crisis of confidence lately of not knowing which direction to create, feeling as though I'm stagnant in particular areas. So I got a book on architecture recently, and I've been trying to use that creatively and try and go with flourishes and play outside the box of just lettering. I'm trying to look at patterns and flourishes and just different ways to create lines and shapes that aren't letters, to try and get myself out of the letter box at the moment, because I cannot get myself out of this creative bent. So that's where I'm trying to look at architecture and look at, you know, the filigree of, you know, on the sides of buildings and things, and just see if I can't crack this. I know it's not going to last a long time, but it just needs something different. So I'm trying to look outside the lettering world for that.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, usually that's where I find my, like if I need inspiration, it's always outside of the lettering world. And then I'll translate that into lettering or some way, shape, or form. But usually it's like my best or long-standing inspiration. It's always outside of just lettering itself.
That's so good. I wish I had even thought that, because maybe I would have gotten out of this sooner. But yeah. Yeah, I just hadn't. And it is interesting when I think about things that usually catch my attention are not lettering related. So they're always outside. Mm. But when I'm stuck, I don't think of going outside.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but yeah.
Mm. Interesting. So what is the first hour of your day in Montana like?
Whoa. Well, my first morning, my first hour, coffee. And by the second half hour, more coffee. truthfully, I wake up a little bit because, and I've heard this a lot with creatives as a whole, and I wish I could be different, but I usually don't go to bed till 1 or 2. I just can't. And so I set my alarm for 8. So I'm usually in bed at 2 and I'm up at 8 and I'm creating by 9. I give myself that hour to jump in the shower, have my coffee. I'll open my email, but I don't try and look at it because then I'm doomed, because then you go down a rabbit hole and I'm giving myself till 9 till I got to work.
That is true. Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So you kind of give yourself your hour to kind of debrief and get yourself ready for it today.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, I used to just get up and go, literally go and sit down, like get my coffee and sit down, and I could be in my pajamas till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, well, this is ridiculous. I don't want the postman coming to my door. I can't do that. Give myself my first hour wake up dance.
That's cool. And it's funny you said that. I was watching one of your videos. So you get notified when your mail arrives?
I do. Isn't that great? It's called informed delivery. That doesn't tell you that your mail has hit your mailbox, but it tells you what mail you're expecting that day. So I know I'm my mail person's supposed to be there-ish. Yeah. Right. And so it's great. You get an email and it tells you, they scan pictures of your envelopes. So it's pretty great. And I like it because when I'm expecting packages and whatnot, I don't, and it's freezing here. You know, it was -5 last week. So
yikes.
I'm not going to the mailbox unless I have to. And it's a long walk for me. It's not just, oh, go to the curb. No, it's a long walk. So...
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool.
So informed delivery is my friend. If you live rural, or how about this? If you have a P.O. box, how great would it be to have informed delivery and you don't have to get in your car and go to your P.O. box if you know it's just junk?
It's true. It's true. But I mean, the fact, just the whole idea of that kind of is so cool, because I'm looking to, me and my wife, we're looking to go super rural at some point.
There you go.
We're gonna do it. Not necessarily needing a big house, but a property.
I encourage you to do it. It's life changing. If it's in your heart, it's life changing. If it's something you don't want to do, I don't recommend it.
Nah, we're doing it. The only thing, though, I know it's not gonna be in Montana. It's not gonna be anywhere cold.
Cold. Okay. Well, they'll have informed delivery wherever you are, I'm sure.
Yeah. But you see, the thing is, you came from warm to cold. I went from cold to warm because I was living in New York.
New York. That'll do it.
Yeah.
You'll never go back, will you?
To visit. Not to. It would have to be like an amazing opportunity that I don't want to pass up.
Right.
To go back. So what's next? What's next for Desiree? What's next?
That is a great question. Oh, I'm in that process. I have a feeling that that's kind of why I'm having my crisis of confidence lately. It might have something to do with that, because I'm trying to figure out what I want to do, and I haven't found it completely. I am creating a font right now, which I'm enjoying doing that, but I'm trying to see beyond, and I'm not very good at that. It puts me in a place of paralysis, and I overthink it, and then I think that has a lot to do with why I get stumped and I can't create. So it's good to have your goals, but I think I need to accomplish this font and then go beyond that. I'm freaking myself out feeling like I need to have answers to these questions, and I don't think my head is ready to have the answers yet. So I'm going to accomplish this in the next month and then set beyond that. I mean, sure, do I have bigger goals? Yes. I want
right.
Of course. But like I said, when I think bigger, it makes me freeze up.
Right. Well, I mean, like, just trying to do a font in itself is, like, just super daunting and kind of, it's a lot of work. So I feel like once you get this done, once you get this font done, you will just be freed up to kind of just free your mind. Between the amount of iterations and stuff that you got to do for a font, like, if I'm doing a font, I want like a month to 3 months, maybe for longer. Just nothing else to do, just the font.
It is so time consuming. And so then I'm trying to think beyond that, and that just becomes overwhelming. Because my brain is so, it's got ligatures and glyphs and all these thick kerning. I'm just too much. So I will accomplish that task, and then I will eagerly take on the next.
I feel like once you get past the font, everything will kind of free up for you.
I sure hope so. It is my hope and my prayer. It really is.
So what advice would you have for someone that wants to kind of get out the box, has been doing something else for 10, 20 years, but now they feel like this hobby is starting to poke at them, but they don't want to change, or they feel like, okay, they've already lived life. Why should they start?
You're never done living. You're just never done living. Mm. I think stepping out in the fear is the scariest place and the best place to be, because that's where you mess up. And without those mess ups, you never push yourself to the next step. And I would highly encourage it. I mean, I get it. Life gets in the way, and you're raising your kids and you're making a buck and trying to, you know, keep the rent coming in. And I think if you're given the opportunity to play with a side hustle and experience it a little bit and push yourself in that direction, if it's what you want, there's nothing more satisfying, because it's hard and it's isolating. It's very isolating. Like I said, you don't have that person to go back and forth with unless you find yourself a tribe to do that with, which I encourage that as well. But I think to step out in the fear is the happiest place you will ever be. Being safe on the shore, just it there's just something, sure, it's great, but it's not validating. You're safe, but it's not validating. And to push myself in a direction to know that I was able to create my hobby into a passion and make that passion a living is so exciting. It's beyond my dreams. I never in a million thought, because truthfully, I'm being honest here, I thought, you know what, raising my kid was going to be everything. Because that's my, you know, he was my everything. Well, my everything grew up and left, which is exactly where he should be, which is right on for him. Absolutely no question. If he wanted to be home, I'd be questioning my own ability as a mom. So I'm glad he's gone. But at the same time, once he's gone, you've got to find something. And if you can take what used to be your hobby and make it into something that you absolutely love, you will thrive. You will thrive. And I want to encourage somebody to do that. And email me, DM me, whatever. I will be on your side and totally encourage you, because I know what that fear factor looks like. And it's huge. And it is a massive, massive shadow that looms overhead. But you know what? You were made to do great things. You were made to do amazing things. And if your heart says create, then I say go for it.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
I need to say nothing after that. Like, that was spot on. So where can people go to find you to learn about what you're doing?
Well, I do have a website for hazeleyes.com. I do have a newsletter on there where I give freebies every month, coloring pages and whatnot, just kind of creative things so that you can be creative as well. So my newsletter pushes that, and I send that out at the beginning of every month. And then I also have herhazeleyes.studio on Instagram. My name is Desiree. As you said, it is not Hazel. Everybody thinks my name is Hazel because I'm herhazeleyes.com or herhazeleyes.studio. So no, it is Desiree at herhazeleyes.studio.
Let's give a quick fact. Why her hazel eyes?
Well, I started a blog many years ago when I started to dabble, trying to figure out what I wanted to do creatively. And I started a blog. And the best way to start a blog is to do things through your own perspective. So it was as seen through my hazel eyes. So that's how it
got
worked.
It.
Yeah.
And that was that.
And I was, you don't even know, Gerald, I want to change my name to just Desiree, but I don't know if people would keep following me if they would know where to find me. So I would love to switch it. I need to find out what that, the cause and effect of changing my name this far down the road, what kind of ramifications that would have. But I would like to just change it to my name, which is phenomenal if I could just go by Desiree. But then it's also bad if later on down the road you have employees. You know, you don't want them having working for Desiree. You have to have a company name. So,
well, you never know. I mean, there's a lot of companies out there that's actually someone's first or last name.
There are.
Tons.
There are. I should actually get more with it and start paying better.
Well, I mean, listen, it's the internet, man. You could, like, test everything out. Like, I would say don't get rid of her hazel eyes. I would say create something separate and kind of, you know, focus it on who Desiree is, the person behind it.
Right.
And then see if it gets traction and then go from there.
I think it's something that I definitely need to investigate further. It's...
Yeah.
Yeah, because like I said, I mean, I am the creator behind it, but people call me Hazel. So that's not...
Which is, you know, it's nice. I mean...
But... It's fun. Nothing against Hazel. I'm just Desiree.
Right. As I said, yeah. You know, it's opportunity to just test and see where it goes from there. But I would say don't get rid of her Hazel eyes. You know, keep it as something still going. Because you have already built an audience around it. A pretty large one.
I really have. Yeah, it's been good. Can I just tell you how fabulous having people that talk to you regularly? They get to be your friends,
yes,
Gerald.
It's true.
You get to know these people. This is your crew. I love it. And from being an introvert, I am a forever introvert. But I'm a loud introvert. I'm not a shy introvert. I'm just comfortable, you know, enjoying a nap after a long day out with people.
Oh, that's funny. I think you're the first not shy introvert I've ever met.
Hardly shy. Yeah. I've never known anybody to call me shy. Yeah.
Well, Desiree, this has been super, like, I mean, I'm glad we did this again. This was awesome. Like, just talking to you again, it's like I'm learning more stuff. So it's been awesome.
Oh, thank you.
It's been awesome.
Thank you. I so appreciate it. I really do.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope it's been super valuable to you and you're now ready to take your audience building, your community growing to the next level to help you and help me build our empire, for lack of a better word, or just to build our thing. Remember to stop by iTunes, Passion Behind the Art, and leave a review and subscribe. It's very important to me. It helps the podcast grow, and it makes me feel good to kind of hear from you guys, to know what you like about this podcast, what it's done for you. So jump on iTunes and subscribe and leave a review. Passion Behind the Art.
be blessed.